Hello and welcome to the Tenable Research Podcast. My name is Dan Raywood. I'm a product marketing manager here at Tenable. This month, we're looking at highlights from our security response team and their blog here on Tenable and some of the vulnerabilities they've been covering. These include some pretty critical vulnerabilities and one case where actually the vulnerabilities were a lot less critical. So as ever, we're joined by Scott Cavazza, Satna Narang and Claire Till. So let's move over and talk to them now. And we're now joined by, from Tenable's security response team, Claire Tills, Satna Narang, and Scott Cavazza. Our first piece of coverage this month is February's Patch Tuesday. After quite a heavy patch bundle in January, it kind of really shrunk down quite a bit, actually. So this smaller Patch Tuesday, Claire, was smaller than we saw in January. What interested you this month about what Microsoft released?
What really kind of struck us this month out of anything was truly an outlier of what we've seen in the past is zero critical vulnerabilities addressed. We've seen a decent amount of variation. I looked back and over the last, 6 or 7 months, it's usually been in the single digits. October was only 3 critical vulnerabilities patched, but to see zero is pretty notable. Especially because it was just 48 important CVEs and then everything else was zero. That doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of meaning. It's more of just a quirky, interesting piece. The fact that there aren't any critical does make prioritization interesting because folks often use those sort of critical, important, moderate values to determine prioritization timelines. And so when only one type of vulnerability comes out, you have to take other things into consideration when you are prioritizing what to patch first.
Yes, well, of course. Actually, that's a good question. Actually, do you think the lack of any critical patches makes the kind of the prioritization sort of, does that make it harder? Because ordinarily people would look, I guess, to the prioritization of what's more critical. But do you think when nothing's critical, it makes it kind of harder? Or do you think people just determine based on what they're using?
I think they likely will defer back to asset prioritization. So, instead of saying, okay, well, we don't have any critical vulnerabilities, what are our critical assets impacted by these moderate vulnerabilities? That would kind of be the best second option rather than just saying, okay, well, we'll just do all of the moderates. Like, okay, well, you can still prioritize with that of like, what assets are truly critical? What are the things that you absolutely have to protect with moderate vulnerabilities? Go with those ones first.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, another one of the money the patches here in February was what's the principal of vulnerabilities? Now, of course, we talked a lot about those last year. And they were featured in the recent Threat Landscape Retrospective as being one of the top 5 vulnerabilities for 22. That was a different vulnerability, but as an overall fix. I mean, Claire, did it surprise you that we saw new fixes released here for this overall problem?
Absolutely not. I don't know the emotion I felt. Definitely was not surprised. We knew this was coming, not these specific vulnerabilities, but just given the long saga of print spooler that started in June of 2021, we knew we weren't done with print spooler yet. And particularly because the specific researchers are not done with print spooler. So one of the vulnerabilities patched this month, I wanna make sure I get the CVE right because there were a few, CVE 2022-21999 was actually credited to the same researchers from Sang4 who disclosed CVE 2021-34527 back in June of 2021, kicking off the whole print nightmare saga confusion mess. So they're still disclosing and working with Microsoft to patch these vulnerabilities. We did have two other vulnerabilities in Print Spooler patched this month discovered by other researchers. So as we saw in the summer, a bunch of folks are looking at Print Spooler, discovering vulnerabilities and disclosing them to Microsoft. So I expect we'll continue to see sprinklings of Print Spooler vulnerabilities coming out over the future months, just because it seems to be a very fertile ground for flaws.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it, Rick features one of the top five vulnerabilities for 2022. Just one more point on Patch Tuesday then was one CVE that did catch my attention was CVE 2022-21989. Reason why this is the wording, which obviously featured in your blog, was the advisory noted that an attacker needs to take additional actions prior to exploitation of this vulnerability. So what are those additional actions to exploit?
We're not entirely sure. Microsoft, maybe over a year ago, it's been a while since they've stopped doing their more detailed executive summaries as a default for a lot of their vulnerabilities. So we're operating with fairly limited information. So CVE 2022-21989 is an elevation of privilege vulnerability in the Windows kernel. And it was the only one this month that was disclosed as a 0-day. And it's a tough thing to figure out because they do say that this is their direct quote is, the vulnerability requires an attacker to take additional actions prior to exploitation to prepare the target environment. That could mean a lot of things, but they have to do something to the target environment in order to make the exploit work. We're still pretty limited on information on what that actually means, which, you know, might be for the best because it means attackers can't know what that, if we don't know what that prior preparation is, the attackers don't either. So it makes it harder for them to exploit. But it does also potentially hinder defenders in trying to detect that additional preparation. But yeah, we're hopeful to see more information come out in the future from potentially the researchers who disclose this vulnerability, or perhaps a report on exploitation seen in the wild, but limited information is available right now.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. If Microsoft doesn't know, the attackers don't know, maybe the attackers will find out first and then we'll know. It's just the wording was very, very interesting. And
we played with it a little bit on our end too, to try and see if we could, you know, Hercule Poirot our way, but there's just too many variables where we don't want to guess and be wrong. We tend to defer to the information available, even if it is vague.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, I say it was a quieter month for Microsoft, but another organization which issued patches actually was SAP. Now, we don't cover SAP that often actually. Well, maybe they just don't have many vulnerabilities. Maybe that's what we'll find out in a second. But they patched the Internet Communication Manager. It was the Internet Communication Manager Advanced Desync, ICMAD, which I think is a brilliant anagram there, or shortening. But certainly SAP was patching vulnerabilities in this ICMAD. Scott, we don't see a lot of patches, or maybe just we don't see the kind of the coverage of patches for SAP. So what stood out this time about this particular release?
Danielle, you're right. We don't see a lot. Actually, you know, we don't talk about it a lot. Maybe that's the best way to phrase it. SAP actually regularly releases updates on the same release cycle as Microsoft. So they have their own patch day that falls on the second Tuesday of each month, which is also Microsoft's Patch Tuesday. What really kind of stood out this month was beyond just looking at the severity ratings from some of the vulnerabilities, because there were a few 10 CVSS 10s on there. But of course, a couple of those patches were related to Log4j patches and specific products from SAP. But beyond the rating, there was also one that stood out, a CVE 2022-22536. Obviously a critical rating and affecting the Internet Communication Manager, the ICM, and in SAP's NetWeaver application, which is kind of interesting. Little bit like SAP is kind of its own ecosystem, right? It's used by large enterprises, and it's not just one SAP product, it's a multitude of those products existing. And the ICM, or Internet Communication Manager in this case, is a critical component of SAP NetWeaver application server. It's basically the communications module for the SAP system and the rest of the internet. So it not only serves as, you know, HTTP server, but it's also that key communication device that, you know, handles all these other protocols that may be specific to other things happening within that SMP environment.
Got it. Okay. Well, you mentioned that there's some key vulnerabilities or, you know, critical vulnerabilities. And of the three vulnerabilities that were patched, only one received a 10.0 rating. I presume that's CVS SSV3. What made this one in particular so dangerous?
Yeah, so that CVE-2022-22536, so just talking about, that's that one with that CVSS 10 score. Basically, like in the most simplest terms, it's going to be an easily exploitable vulnerability from an unauthenticated remote attacker. So a simple HTTP request is all it's going to take to basically take over, you know, the entire system, right? Complete system takeover is how they're phrasing it. And being that SAP systems are typically used in critical business functions, you know, this could have a significant impact across an organization who's able to exploit this vulnerability.
And just one last point, Scott. We saw CISA issue an immediate warning about these vulnerabilities, stating that exploitation could result in disrupted operations, data theft, fraud, and ransomware attacks. So it's kind of like a holy Cody 4, we'll just call it that. I'm trying to think of what the version is. Is this level of impact common? You know, we're talking disrupted operations, data theft, fraud, and ransomware attacks. I mean, that's quite severe, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, right, most attacks are going to be kind of a chained approach to go to those levels of extreme, right? In this case, one attack might be all that's needed in this particular example. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, CISA coming right out of the gate and recognizing the severity of it. And it's kind of reminiscent of one from back in 2020, CVE-2020-6287. So this is back from July 2020 when the vulnerability was patched. And Onapsis, who also found this month's vulnerability that we're talking about, they were also responsible for disclosing and identifying that 2020 vulnerability to SAP. And they labeled it as, they kind of coined this term RECON, which stands for Remotely Exploitable Code on NetWeaver. It was also CVSS 10 vulnerability. And, you know, I think it was within 24 hours or so of this being announced, there was already a proof of concept released. You start seeing that initial kind of opportunistic scanning and exploitation from some of those threat groups, you know, early on, and now it's, you know, it's part of CISA's known exploitable vulnerability catalog. So that one was a little bit different. You know, that was a complete lack of authentication vulnerability versus this one was, you know, a desynchronization of memory pipe buffers vulnerability. It's kind of a odd play on words, but nonetheless, both cases, we've got, you know, critical vulnerabilities. So seeing this again in an SAP product, seeing it in NetWeaver, you know, being that front end device between the rest of the SAP ecosystem and the internet was definitely concerning and kind of raises those alarm bells of, you know, are we going to see that same type of issue happening again, where it's going to be readily, a proof of concept is going to be released and it's going to be readily exploitable, you know, early on.
Yeah, just so if anyone wants more information on CISA directives, we did do a podcast last November around the CISA directive, receiving better instruction on vulnerabilities that need to be patched. So it just sort of strikes me, Scott, that when they do these, CISA kind of do this, you know, we've added this to this catalog. It's kind of like, you know, a bit like saying you all better take this one seriously because we're taking it seriously. I just the kind of the vibe that I get from that kind of comment, but. It's an interesting one. Like I said at the start, you know, we don't talk much about SAP. I'm sure there are vulnerabilities patched all the time, but we just one we that keeps a bit quiet or is kept a little bit quiet. We don't get the spotlight on it so much, but this was a particularly interesting one. Just for the last blog we're going to look at for from February then, this one regarded from Cisco and their small business RV series routers. Satnam, there were 15 patches here for these routers from Cisco, especially for small businesses. Three of the 15, this was CVE, and I'm not going to read the whole number, but it's just 20700, 20708 and 20699, all CVA to 2022 ahead that, of course. Three of them had a 10.0 classification. So we talked about the 10.0 with SAP, and there were more 10.0 severity classifications here from Cisco. What interested you about this patch bundle, maybe apart from these three quite significant vulnerabilities?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of already stole my thunder a little bit there by highlighting those three, to be honest. Those are really the ones that stood out to us clearly, because as you mentioned, CVSS v310 is pretty significant. You don't see those all the time, but when you do, it definitely captures your attention and makes you sort of perk up and say, okay, I need to look into these more closely. And you mentioned the different ones. So CVE-2022-20699 is a remote code execution vulnerability. 20700 is a privilege escalation vulnerability, and 20708 is a command injection flaw. Now, all three of the vulnerabilities are rated critical. Two of the three vulnerabilities could actually be exploited by an unauthenticated remote attacker. This means an attacker doesn't need to authenticate to the target device in order to leverage these vulnerabilities. And for the other vulnerability, while authentication is required, researchers say that authentication can be easily bypassed. So even though an authentication requirement is necessary to exploit it, it doesn't really matter. And more often than not, the exploitation of these types of vulnerabilities require an attacker to send a specially crafted request to the vulnerable device, which means that they're relatively simple to exploit. Now, what compounds the criticality of these vulnerabilities is, you know, at the time that we published this blog post, at least 8,400 Cisco devices in the RV340 and RV345 line were publicly accessible. Now, we couldn't discover all of the publicly accessible devices for the other ones that were listed in the alert from Cisco, but 8,400 devices publicly accessible, CVSS-10s, easily exploitable, meaning they only have to send a simple request. That's what compounds the criticality for these vulnerabilities. So an attacker could go to a service like Shodan or Binary Edge to identify vulnerable systems pretty easily and use these simple requests to exploit these flaws.
Wow. Okay. I mean, even though we started off this podcast talking about Microsoft not having any critical vulnerabilities, it seems that there's no shortage of critical vulnerabilities elsewhere around this month. Just last question then on the Cisco router, certain. In particular, these were small business routers. Well, maybe just a bit more general information. Does that mean they're for small businesses? And does that make them a more critical fix? Because we're presuming small businesses don't have the perimeter layers of protection that a larger business would.
So what makes the vulnerabilities critical is the fact that they're easily exploitable. The ease of exploitation is what compounds the criticality, as I mentioned previously. But when you talk about small businesses, I think one of the challenges there is that these devices are in primarily in small businesses. So whether they have the staff available to necessarily express the urgency of patching these vulnerabilities in a timely manner, that's sort of the biggest challenge here. Because, you know, if you're a big, large company, you have staff on hand that can prioritize these vulnerabilities. So figuring out whether or not the companies that do use these particular devices have the staff on hand that can, you know, alert management or do the necessary steps to patch these bugs. And because they're in routers, obviously that requires coordination, taking down the routers for a period of time in order to patch these vulnerabilities. So there's a number of confounding factors that make it a little bit more challenging for small businesses, and why these types of vulnerabilities end up being exploited months to years later, because you do have organizations that fail to patch these vulnerabilities in a timely manner before attackers have access to proof of concept code and they become more widely used by attackers.
And whether it's print spooler or it's anything else, attackers are looking for opportunities, as we've said. So yeah, it's been an interesting month with a mix of some critical vulnerabilities from some and none from another. But we will wrap things up there. To Claire, Scott and Satnam, thank you very much for your time this month, and we'll speak to you again next month when we'll see if everything's just as critical. And once again, big thanks to Claire, to Scott and to Satnam for their time this month. It felt a little bit quieter, but also, you know, the vulnerabilities were actually pretty severe. So in a way, bit of both, really. You know, lots to learn in a shorter amount of time. But I think one of the interesting takeaways I got from that was, especially from that first one, was the first one being the Microsoft Patch Tuesday was all about, even though there aren't critical vulnerabilities, you know, how do you prioritize what is more critical to you? That's a decision that you have to make as a practitioner or as a researcher. So yes, thanks very much as ever for listening. Please do subscribe and you won't miss any other of the podcasts we're doing. We recently put one out in the last few days around Black History Month with our diversity and inclusion group here at Tenable. So that we're talking there about hiring and lots of stuff around hiring of Black and African American employees in cybersecurity. So I hope you'll find that interesting. Otherwise, thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next time.